Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to open the show today by talking about urban trees and urban wood. What happens to all the wood that's removed from our urban landscape? Emerald ash borer comes to mind, and ash trees and all of the trees that were cut down. And, of course, thinking back a little further, the elm trees were once lined there's many of an urban area, and they're gone, and maybe they didn't take part and become a part of this urban tree, urban wood project that we're going to hear about today from our two guests, Duane Sperber. Duane owns Woodward and is a founding member or founding partner of Wisconsin Urban Wood. He's also a member of the Wisconsin Urban Forestry Council. Duane, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry, for having us in.
With him, John Stevenson. John is an arborist, owns Stevenson Tree Care. He's also a consultant with the Forest Products Lab in Madison, committee member for Wisconsin Urban Wood. And John, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the offer.
So what questions do you have about using wood from urban areas? Would you like to know how you can have a tree on your property used in this way? Join in the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. John Stevenson, maybe start with you first. How do you define urban wood? So it's a tree that's grown in the city? Or
it can be a tree grown in the city. It can be a tree that's grown at that urban-wildland interface. And you know, just because of fragmentation in many parts of the state at this point in time, we don't really have the contiguous forests we once had. And an urban tree can be one at the curb that the city owns between the sidewalk and the actual curb area. Lots of trees are owned, of course, privately, backyards, all across Madison and any municipality or community here in town. Private tree care companies, City of Madison, forestry crews are taking these trees down. And a percentage of those trees are valuable. And so through Wisconsin Urban Wood, what we tried to do is establish a hierarchy from best use to least use. It can be any species. All species have some value. So it may be that that log is good for milling and it's going to go to artisanal use. Or it may go to a specific live edge use. And from there, it kind of decreases down to the point where this log really is only going to be valuable for firewood or for the mulch market. But the goal here is to start to divert this resource stream into the proper category so it just doesn't wind up only
landfill
as mulch or landfill, correct?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Duane, something to add to that?
Sure. I just always like to say I like that the topic of urban wood brought us here together today, and it has a way of doing that. After all, urban wood comes from trees where we live, as John said, whether that's even in a rural area or in an urban area. And it was about 15 years ago, and it was due in large part to the emerald ash borer, that an urban wood movement emerged, and we identified an abundant and underutilized resource. And urban and community trees, they're well cared for here in Wisconsin, and now once they have to be removed, they have a higher use destinations, and they're avoiding waste streams. And this is due in great part to the work that's being led by Wisconsin Urban Wood, which is a nonprofit organization that the $20 definition is that we are advancing the sustainable recovery and the highest and best use of the products of urban and community forest.
Well, it's to me, it seems like almost like a no-brainer, but it takes people like you to organize and get things going for sure. And the uses for it, I mean, you kind of talked a little bit about it, John, but those woods can be used in, that wood can be used in a whole bunch of different ways.
Well, it absolutely can. I can mention a few things, and then I'm going to defer to Duane here with some of the success that he's had through his business But we have to be clear here. We're not talking about dimensional lumber. We're not salvaging dimensional lumber for building, not for 2x4s or stringers or anything in that regard. That's a whole different category, and that's not the focus of what we're doing here. With this organization, we're getting this product, which is slab lumber. It can be trees that are hundreds of years old. Now, typically in commercial mills, forestry operations, that's a supply chain that's very well established and has been around for probably 120 some odd years in this country. And the urban wood stream is not recognized by the commercial mills necessarily because, number one, there can be objects inside that's going to slow their production down, nails, boards, trees crashing, or cars crash into trees and leave parts behind. So this supply chain has been hard to get it recognized as an official commodity and a resource that can be utilized. And Wisconsin Urban Wood is trying to change that, and there's a lot of ways that we're doing it. But I think I'm going to let Duane talk a little bit about success that he's had with some of this diversion and what's been going on there.
Yeah. Go ahead, Duane.
Yeah, this urban wood, or more specifically, this Wisconsin urban wood, is virtually a new wood product, and it's controlled in every way by nature, from appearance to availability. And what's important to note here is that it competes in a market with familiar and well-accepted materials options. After all, the lumber that John referred to has been graded, specified, and sourced the same way for nearly a century. But Wisconsin Urban Wood, since we came together and identified our supply chain, our chain of custody, our grading, we're building standards, we've been working pretty hard to raise awareness, demand, and confidence in what is a very precious resource. And as a result, Wisconsin Urban Wood is being called out or specified in more and more significant projects. And the beauty of our work is that urban wood shows up to a construction site, for example, just like any other wood product. And it even showed up in the new Pfizer form.
That was really cool. You brought along an award on wood. It's called the Wisconsin Urban Wood Utilization Award and Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee.
That's right.
How was the wood used there?
Yeah, we worked, the architect, number one, it all began there. The architect was familiar with our work, which was EUA Architects in Milwaukee. And they had a great desire to represent Wisconsin in this building.
Yeah.
And what better story than to add this Wisconsin urban wood to it. So a year before, last year in 2018, sourcing wood, specifying it, can be it's a new process.
Yeah.
It's a different way of thinking. And not every architect is like that, but you can imagine we're kind of in a point-and-click world where wood is so very standardized that we don't really have to think about it. And I say that respectfully because they've done a good job of standardizing it. We're trying to do the same thing. So when a project architect commits to using urban wood and they successfully specify it and they know all of the characteristics of specifying, sourcing, and utilizing urban wood, and they transfer that on to their general contractor and to those installing it very successfully, it's a beautiful thing. So we like to recognize projects that demonstrate the outstanding achievement in design, specification, and application of Wisconsin urban wood. And this year, the Milwaukee Bucks, Pfizer Forum, and EUA Architects were the recipients. And that just happened on June 20th. So we're very excited about that.
That is really cool. So they used it probably in a variety of ways.
In a lot of finish applications.
Great.
Concession fronts, and they would wrap beams in it. And we're not on the basketball floor, but that has a pretty cool story, too. I believe that wood came from the Menominee tribe. Very, very local and a normal process. And that's what this award recognizes.
Outstanding. Well, we have some callers online. Kathy and Leo both are online. Let's go to Kathy first. Kathy, hi. Oh, we lost Kathy. She wondered what she can do with trees she cut down. So she's in an urban setting, let's say, I assume, and she says Madison. So
okay, I can speak to that. My company, I take lots and lots of trees down. Some of them are of condition that absolutely something could be made from them. And I get a lot of clients that say, look, I've got this tree. I'd like to have something sawn and made a keepsake, because I have to stress it's always the story that counts.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there are people that they may have gone to school here. They may have grown up here and moved away. And if they can come back and know that they can salvage lumber that they can make into a keepsake from a particular zip code, that's really important to them. So what could Kathy do? There are some producers here in Dane County. Can I give a plug?
Sure, okay. Sure, go ahead.
www.org. Okay. Paul Morrison at the Wood Cycle is a really good choice. I've sold a number of logs to him, or had my clients work with him in particular I take a tree down. They get linked up with Paul Morrison at the Wood Cycle. He's a fine woodworker. He does milling, drying, and he can make almost anything for them. A keepsake,
wow, cool.
a bedstead, whatever it might be. So whatever she's got, I can absolutely say, yep, get in contact and something could be done.
Oh, really cool. Leo in Harrison, New Jersey, will go to you next. Hi, Leo.
Yeah, thank you very much. Great show. I'm glad that there are heroes like this saving the trees and preserving what we have.
What's on your mind? Yeah.
Well, I like to use saltpeter to preserve my wood, and I'm wondering if your guests have ever had such an experience.
Leo, I can't really speak to that. But Wisconsin Urban Wood and so forth, we're really not in the deconstruction business of salvaging lumber from old buildings. So at this point, I'm afraid it's kind of a different direction for us. But I appreciate the call and the interest, Leo.
Michael in Wauwatosa, your turn. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I'm really glad to hear that there's some kind of program to utilize urban woods. I had a small tree service in Elm Grove, Brookfield, New Berlin area for about 15, 18 years, and I cut down some beautiful white oak, red oak, and there was one particular tree that it was just an ancient white oak. Couldn't get my arm around it 2.5 times. And I tried to find someone to take that. I called Kettle Moraine Hardwoods, and they wouldn't come because it was a single tree. Mm-hmm. And it just broke my heart to cut that up for firewood. And also, I wanted to put a plug in for mulberry. It's got a beautiful amber grain.
Absolutely.
And it's just wonderful. And I'm just glad to hear that there's some place that a person could contact to take the wood to. If you can tell me where I could call somebody and say, hey, I got this great tree, would you like it, besides ash?
Sure.
And
Michael, you've got a lot of great options now. Wisconsin Urban Wood, our website, wisconsinurbanwood.org, you can find any number of arborists who will come and recognize that tree as worthy. And they are also connected to, our members have portable sawmills. It could be a wood miser or an Alaska or Lucas mill. And these Lucas mills can handle massive trees like you just described. So that option is becoming easier and easier for you to find somebody, especially where you're located. I live in Delafield, but I work in the Milwaukee area. And there's any number of makers. And one that comes to mind is Hoppy Tree Service. And we have some new members. I believe they're called Brew City Lumber or Brew City Urban Lumber that you'll see on our website as well. And they can come and set up a mill right on site if this happens again.
Yeah, so, there you go, Michael.
To add to that, I think there are a lot of sawyers out there. There really are. If you do a Google search within your community, you can find individuals that will come to your property and cut. They'll slab. They're going to leave the sawdust and the edging behind. But if you look hard enough, you can find someone that will do that. And just be persistent. And that person will turn up. There's a lot of wood miser sawmill guys out there. You'd have to air dry afterwards, but there are drying opportunities as well. And that's what we're trying to do at Wisconsin Urban Wood, is line up and connect the supply side with the market side.
Yeah.
And it's we're gaining steam, we're getting traction, we're finding these networks, and we're linking them together, and we're having pretty solid success with that.
Dwayne Sperber, owner of Woodward and founding partner of the Wisconsin Urban Wood. John Stevenson, arborist, owner of Stevenson Tree Care. He's also a consultant for Forest Products Lab and a committee member for Wisconsin Urban Wood, WUW. Woo, I guess you could say. You can join in with your questions or comments or maybe an experience to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or go ahead and email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at some new uses for urban trees with Dwayne Sperber and John Stevenson. Dwayne owns Woodward. And by the way, that's spelled, it sounds like Woodward, but it's spelled W-U-D-E-W-A-R-D.
So that's correct.
W-U-D-E-W-A-R-D.
Thank you.
And John Stevenson, arborist, and owns Stevenson Tree Care. And great to have both of them with us. They're both associated with Wisconsin Urban Wood. And talking about that, this great program, I think, to come up with, they've come up with some ways to categorize urban woods and really wood and get it to us into a situation where we can use that wood in a variety, a big variety of ways. So great to have them along. Call in at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Chuck in Wisconsin Dells has a question, I believe. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for calling.
Just a comment. I guess about 8 years ago, we took down 12 huge pine trees. They were 70 feet tall. I couldn't put my arms around them. And we cut them, we had them taken down in 10-foot lengths, figuring that, you know, we'd get somebody to saw them up. But I could not, I checked with 5 different sawmills around the area, and they would not touch them because they were, you know, like they were afraid of insulators and stuff like that in the wood.
Yeah.
I can take my comments off the air if that's all right.
All right, Chuck. Thank you for calling.
I can talk to that a little
bit.
All
right, John.
Yeah, that can be a concern for the commercial mills because they're all about production. They're going to run one or two shifts, and they just can't change out those expensive saw blades to hit an insulator. But I really think that the market on the private sawmill guy has expanded. And it is popular. You pick up a copy of Woodworker magazine, flip to the back, and you'd be just amazed at that service that is now there. So be persistent. Keep looking. You're going to find the right sawyer, and they'll come into your place, set up their portable mill. They'll slab to your dimensions, sticker it, air dry it, and you're on your way.
Yeah, there you go. And he's in the Wisconsin Dells area. There's sure to be within 30, 40 miles of the Wisconsin Dells somebody that would.
Absolutely.
And again, go to, what's your website again? The wood?
WisconsinUrbanWood.org.
WisconsinUrbanWood.org. You can go to that, and you're going to find these kinds of connections. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Jake in Watertown, your turn. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. So what can we do for you?
Well, I just too often see these large trees that are getting cut up into firewood. And, yeah, like your guest was saying, there are a lot of Lucas mills out there. I've been running one for 3.5 years here in southern Wisconsin. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you just got to look into it and we're waiting for you. Don't be cutting those logs into firewood now.
Well, to add, you know,
John, go ahead.
Yeah, Jake, that's great. No, there's a prime example. Now, you can work between Madison, you can work to Milwaukee, and, you know, that whole corridor. And I think for you as a business owner, for what you're doing, Wisconsin Urban Wood is geared specifically for you. And what we're going to do and what our organization is attempting to do is just that. I mean, if you were to join the organization, part of this, you know, I'm going to give a plug, of course, for Wisconsin Urban Wood, is that we're linking that supply side with the market side. There's lots of people that need you. And if you come through our website, join our organization, come to our meetings, you're going to find a path forward with that. And that's the goal. So I'm really glad that you called.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
Jake. Appreciate your call. Tom in Fond du Lac, we'll go to you. Hi, Tom.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What have you got for us?
Well, I'm a hobbyist woodworker, and I quickly found that the cheapest way to get a hold of lumber is to cut down my own trees, buy an Alaska mill, and mill it down my own self. Mm-hmm. Now, my chainsaw is small to the point where my largest diameter is, or my largest capacity is 12 inches, 20-inch bar. But my question is, my local municipalities are very often cutting down trees, planting new trees, et cetera. It happens. I've tried to talk to them to see if they could possibly leave me like a 6-foot length of any given log. Is there any tips or tricks to be able to talk to these municipalities and really try to get them to take that a little bit more seriously? Not just for me, but for other people as well, because I know there are others.
Yeah.
It's chipped up for playground equipment.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Tom, let's go to Dwayne for that.
Tom, thank you for this. And this is not a blatant plug for Wisconsin Urban Wood again, but this is one of the areas we focus on. We are developing municipal models. We are helping municipalities find efficiencies and even cost savings in the management. And Eau Claire is a great example. The entire city is a member of Wisconsin Urban Wood, and they have implemented what we call a use agreement, where they have organized an agreement that they manage their logs for all material from the trees they remove to the highest use, and that material is made available to Wisconsin Urban Wood members. And you might think that, well, why do I have to join this club? But our members are a part of it, this virtuous circle. We are building a chain of custody, and that is important in selling wood, because as a member, you agree to mill and dry your wood properly and make it available and label it. And what our long-term goal is to make this a part of our culture here in Wisconsin and beyond. So a municipality has an opportunity, number one, to save money by allowing or creating access to those logs, and they also have a way of showing their commitment to their city and to their state and beyond. So if you would like to contact Wisconsin Urban Wood to learn kind of those ins and outs, who to talk to, how to encourage them, how to inform them, Wisconsin Urban Wood could help you. And again, we'd like to have you – I look forward to you calling us.
Yeah, so it's – and if he could just goes online to Wisconsin
–
WisconsinUrbanWood.org.
Org. Mm-hmm.
You're going to find contact information, phone numbers, and all of that, Tom. So good luck. Appreciate it. I imagine you've got more information about Eau Claire and what it's done as well. Well, Christine and Dousman, will give you a chance next. Hi, Christine.
Good morning. I have a question about a large oak on our property that is dead. And I called the city of Dousman, and they said they're so busy they don't have time to come and cut any trees down right now. Their budget doesn't let them do it right now. So I'm wondering, is this something that I could call and have someone come and cut down? And if so, what kind of price are we talking about? Okay. What does it cost the customer?
Yeah, okay. Well, John Stevenson, you're doing this every day. So
I get this question quite often. I can't do bids over the phone. It's just too complicated. I can't even give you a baseline on that. Now, I guess my first question would have to be, is this a municipal tree?
Is it in the city?
It's in between the sidewalk and the road.
Okay, so this belongs to the village. And without getting permission from the village, a private tree care company would not be able to probably do that. And I can't speak for Dousman. I don't know how they're codified and how their tree laws are established there. But at the same time, if they're too busy, sometimes they may allow a subcontractor to come in. There's a lot of good tree services there in that area. Many, many friends of mine are active in that area. I would call downtown, find out what you can do. If you can get an estimate, I'm going to take you to the Wisconsin Arborist Association, the WAA website. They will have a list of certified arborists for hire by county. And these are arborists that have been vetted. They're insured. They're certified. Good companies, and you can get estimates from them and probably get this resolved.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Christine. Appreciate your call. And a big tree, and it's, you know, there's so many vagaries involved. If it's really close to other lot lines, and there's other
wires and lines
in the way, I mean, that all adds to the cost, of course.
Absolutely. Some can be as simple as a few hundred dollars. Some can be thousands of dollars.
Yeah. From personal experience, I think one cost me $3,000.
Yeah.
But it was a huge tree, and it was in a situation where they had to be really mm-hmm. careful about how they took each limb down and so forth. So,
yes. Yep.
Rich in Burlington, it's your turn. Hi, Rich.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the work you guys are talking about doing. I can't stand wasting trees. All around us, we have the emerald ash borer that has nailed a lot of beautiful trees, and they have simply cut them down. They don't want them used for firewood. They don't want them transported. And the logs are just left to basically rot. And I am trying to figure out what could be done not so that the ash wood is not just wasted. Is your organization doing anything about the ash borer, trees from that?
Sure. Dwayne, we maybe start with you.
Sure, absolutely. The emerald, you know, this urban wood thing, using wood from trees that have to come down, has been happening forever. But it's the emerald ash borer that really jump-started the idea of utilizing these trees. And after about a decade, we learned we needed to connect the supply chains. And so ash is kind of our founding member. And that led us to recognizing that there's a lot of wood being removed. But one project that Wisconsin Urban Wood worked on is in Kenosha, where the county was removing nearly 6,000 trees. And our executive director of Wisconsin Urban Wood, Don Peterson, did a project there, a grant project, I believe, where he orchestrated a mechanized removal where all of the ash trees in three county parks were removed using typical and normal equipment, harvesting equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And these were indeed trees that needed to come down. And this project demonstrated or showed how each market, pulp, whether it be pulp or firewood or mulch, was recognized. But this project ended with a good story. It generated 200,000 board feet of ash lumber. And that was processed or milled and dried at a typical and commercial mill here in Wisconsin. And that wood was segregated as urban wood, as we have defined here today. So ash, again, is our founding, our founder, and I believe that there are many higher use destinations, and we have certainly increased awareness to, I'll use the word value, not necessarily monetarily, but the value of ash wood. And for what I do for a living, reaching out to design professionals, I like to focus on ash. There's a lot of it available. And we like to demonstrate its applications or how it could even be stained if they don't like the lighter colors. So, we're on that. Wisconsin Urban Wood is on that.
And I should mention that on our own website, wpr.org/Larry, we do have some links to the websites that we're talking about today as well. So you can, if you didn't get them all written down, we'll be mentioning them again. But you can always go to WPR.org/Larry and find that information. So there you go, Rich. Thank you so much. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Jim in Stevens Point, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in the middle of all of the tree damage in central Wisconsin and have a huge white pine that lost a large limb, so I need to take that down because it's compromised. And I'm sorry, I just turned on your show, so I'm not quite sure how that works. I did look up and found that there's an arborist that I know who is part of the International Society. So where do I go from here?
Okay, and this is something that a lot of people are dealing with right now. I have a friend in Wisconsin Rapids area that posted a bunch of photos on her Facebook page of down trees. But this is something, obviously, John, has to be taken care of quickly.
Well, it does. And, you know, it's unfortunate the tree's down, and once it's down, what do you do with it? And I think that if you hunt around in the Wisconsin Arborist Association website, whoever does the tree removal for you, if you hire a service, they may very well have a sawyer, someone with a sawmill that could either be interested in that log. Now, I'll be honest, white pine doesn't necessarily get people that excited. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you've got a use for it, have them come in, mill it, slab it, dry it by stickering, and you can use it as a woodworker, or maybe you can sell it on your own. But Wisconsin Urban Wood might be able to help in this regard. But it's going to be a while. Those tree services are going to be backed up for months. That was a massive storm that hit up there. So that's probably your first challenge, is just getting someone in there.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin Urban Wood has a member now in La Crosse, a fairly new member. And you can find them under...
Stevens Point?
Oh, excuse me. I'm Stevens on the wrong
Point.
Call.
Yep. Stevens Point?
Yeah.
I apologize, Jim, but still contact us.
Yeah, WisconsinUrbanWood.org. Good luck. Thank you. Mary in La Crosse. Now we'll go to La Crosse.
Now we're in La Crosse. All
right. Hi, Mary.
I just wanted to mention a really nice project that's going on in La Crosse Riverside Park. The band shell has been there for years and years and years and needed restructuring, and it never had a cover. There's a gentleman from Viroqua that his job, and he's a wonderful person, that takes these trees. So the whole cover, it's designed specifically for acoustics. And I believe it said in the paper and on the news that he is using a lot of the the trees that were cut down.
Ash.
Because of ash trees. Yeah, and to make this wonderful, wonderful structure that will be the band shell cover.
Oh, what
That's
a great
beautiful.
Story, Mary. Thank you so much for calling. And we're starting to see some more of those kinds of stories, aren't we, Duane?
Yes, absolutely. And, because urban wood fills all or most of the same needs as traditional lumber, our industry, this urban wood industry, needs to proclaim the benefits beyond the application. And the benefits beyond that application to me are, number one, it was from a local tree. Ultimately, we lowered emissions by utilizing a local tree and not ordering this wood from across the country. You were certainly benefiting your local economy and most certainly your environment and perhaps some social equity. It helps people feel good and connected to it. So John mentioned the story early on in our conversation, and that story is very it's infectious, and it's what's driving a big part of driving our mission.
And thank you very much, Mary, for calling. John, I want to go to you for a minute because, I mentioned early on you were a part of or do some consulting work with Forest Products Laboratories, and there's probably some roles being played there, too.
There certainly are. That organization, Forest Products Lab, people here don't know, is the research arm of the U.S. Forest Service. It's been here in Madison since the 1920s. A lot of very interesting, famous, storied people have come through there. But FPL and the U.S. Forest Service started an urban forestry initiative about a decade ago. I was brought in as a business owner that was already starting to do some form of utilization here to kind of be the liaison, to start to connect municipalities, private tree care companies with this concept. And we started out in Baltimore because Baltimore is close to Washington, D.C., where most of the big decisions are made. And this thing kind of morphed into a very large and successful project of utilizing street trees at the municipal level and also from the private sector tree care companies in establishing supply chains, establishing markets. And my project work out there has pretty much come to an end. But what I've been able to accomplish with lots and lots of players are many, many facets within this industry. And it's been successful. Forest Products Lab, I got to give a shout out to those guys. It's been fabulous. And they've also been instrumental, FPL and the U.S. Forest Service, in funding continued research for Wisconsin urban wood. I needed to bring that up.
Yeah, for sure.
That has been really critical. And Duane, I think, has a few things to mention on that front.
No, I'm just darn excited that Wisconsin Urban Wood recently signed a 3-year agreement with the U.S. Forest Service, and it's to support our mission That kind of helps me. That makes me feel pretty good. And they've recognized we have like missions.
Yeah.
We're number one, in general, wood needs to be used more. And yeah. And the craft of using wood, the knowledge of wood, is perhaps somewhat diminishing. And so we're bringing awareness to wood in general and a new kind of wood. So we're very thankful for their partnership, very much so.
Ron in Greendale has something for us. Let's go there. Ron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking me. I am in the business of preservation. My company is called Two Hands Restoration. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to come into unusual species of wood that have specific aesthetic or structural needs for various projects, in, you know, from a log cabin to some finicky replicating of molding. So it might be chestnut, bird's eye maple, white oak, etc. There's so many things that aren't to be had through the commercial lumber industry at large. And I have lucked in a couple times to things over, for instance, at the Restore, things that products that you have put through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. One of our members, Hoppy Tree, the Urban Wood Lab, which is a division of Hoppy Tree Service, supplies, I think, one or more Restores in the Milwaukee area. And our member, Paul Morrison of the Wood Cycle, supplies one or two Restores here in Madison. And Ron, I think you and I met, this is Dwayne, with Woodward a couple of years ago. And Two Hands certainly sounds familiar. So I appreciate your interest.
Thank you very much, Ron, for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Ron's another guy who might benefit well.
Absolutely.
From getting going online to your and your website again is, if you want to, people are interested in it.
Is WisconsinUrbanWood.org, .org.
WisconsinUrbanWood.org. And you do have, there's an event. I wanted to mention that event, too.
Yeah. Wisconsin Urban Wood has three areas of focus when we were founded. First, it was our members. Let's link the supply chains from seed to sawdust and have a unified mission and brand. Number two was to educate and increase the awareness of industry, which means those who have influence over materials, those that manufacture with wood, and we're certainly continuing that. But the third is the public. Let's reach out to the public. And on September 21st of this year at the Linden Sculpture Garden in Milwaukee, we will have the 6th or 7th, I believe, annual Urban Forest Fest. And it's a chance for the public to come and truly see the log to table, the log to building story. We'll have a portable sawmill demonstration. Our members will be there showing their wares, whether it be lumber or finished products. The Milwaukee Mandolin Orchestra will be performing in the background. And the very wonderful Wisconsin Arborist Association will be putting on their kids' tree climb, where they will hoist all ages up into the canopies of trees, literally connecting them to trees. So we're really looking forward to that on September 21st, the Urban Forest Fest.
Well, you know what? It's been a pleasure talking with you, too. I really appreciate your time today. I hope we have a chance to do this again. It'd be a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry, so very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Dwayne Sperber owns Woodward, and that's spelled WUDEWARD, Woodward.
Thanks for that, Larry.
And also John Stevenson, he owns Stevenson Tree Care. They're both involved with Wisconsin Urban Wood. So again, the website address for that, WisconsinUrbanWood.org. We will talk some more with them down the road for sure. We're going to switch gears and talk with you a little about agriculture next. There are some women, men and women, but we're going to be talking with a couple of women who have been very involved in Wisconsin farming, and they're making things work for them. And I know there's been a lot of problems in Wisconsin agriculture in many areas, but there's also a way that you can be successful. And we'll talk about that next. Here on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mealer.